This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You know, it took me long enough to figure out that our new opening song kind of fits better than what we had before, even though both songs kick ass. But the Midnight Rider has been retired. Maybe I'll play that when we do another Dusty episode or something. Anyway.
I love the Midnight Rider.
Who doesn't? Yeah. Who's that guy talking?
Sorry.
Is Dr. G dead? Was he killed? Is he wearing the Midnight Rider mask? Welcome, everyone, to the newest episode of the NWA set. Wow, just everybody just busts in. God, what do you think this is, a four-hour pod? Welcome, everyone, to your home for everything NWA. You knew that was coming. The NWA Saturday Special. I am Scott Griscola. You've already heard the voice of the doctor, Dr. G. George Bellino, and the other voice, one of our close personal friends, and the tri-host of NWA Crock and Roll, whose episode three dropped earlier in the week on Wednesday on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. Mr. Sean Kidd, good evening, sir.
Good evening, guys. How you doing tonight?
Very well, sir. Very well. All right.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Big stuff this past week for the NWA, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I am too. And we've had a couple of releases, which I have a feeling we're going to be seeing more and more of over time. Why don't we get into that right now before we get into we will, of course, this week as we said last week, starting tonight or today, if you're listening to this, of course, as it drops on Saturday, and every week from here on out, we will be recapping UWN Primetime Live as the cooperative of the NWA, and we have a lot to talk about on premiere episode from this past Tuesday night, both in the ring and in the information superhighway, which had a ton of construction and there were a lot of lanes closed, but we'll talk about that too. Two of the biggest releases, this week in the NWA, Melina, not a release, I shouldn't say that. Her NWA contract expired, and she has gone to greener pasture. She's going back to WWE, which might not be a bad move. They could use a few, you know, bodies, and Melina knows the lay of the land there. What do you think about that, Dr. G?
Well, I told you, you know, past pods that unfortunately until, Billy could really get things going for the NWA, if these ladies or these men, you know, find the greener pastures and can put more food on the table, they're going to take the opportunity. I mean, you can't blame them.
Right. No, I agree. And the other thing, well, Shawnee, what are your thoughts on this move?
I think it's an interesting move. I think, you know, John Morrison is back in there. So I guess my curiosity is, are they going to put her with him? But, if her contract expired and, you know, to Dr. G's point, they're trying to get the NWA back off the ground. If she got a bigger offer from the WWE, you can't really blame her for going over there. But it's a shame because from a women's standpoint, she was really high profile for them. So kind of a loss a little bit for them, I think.
I agree. The other thing I think we're going to be noticing is, with this cooperative between the NWA and UWN, the UWN has their own roster of guys and gals, which we will talk about this evening. So maybe a lot of these NWA stalwarts that were there to kind of fill the holes, they realize that, look, they have to push their own talent. So maybe the NWA is paring things down a little bit, which really upsets me with our next guy, James Storm, the Cowboy. We thought one half of the World Tag Team Champions, his contract has expired. He is now a free agent. Now, James Storm didn't say he was going anywhere. He may stay with the NWA, and we may see him in the coming weeks, but something tells me he's either going to go to WWE or he's going to go back to Impact. I don't think he's going to go to AEW. As a matter of fact, I have a feeling the cons are going to kind of put a freeze on bringing people in. I think they're pretty stacked roster-wise at the moment, and they only have one show a week. So I have a feeling they're gonna slow down their pickups. I think he's going to go back to Impact. He loved it there. Remember, we also have to take into account, and Dr. G, you and I have said this on past episodes, and I've said this on Main Event with Nate and Steve, most workers that left Impact didn't leave because they didn't like Impact. They hated Dixie. And Dixie's gone. So maybe they feel like Impact is back to being a safe place for them to have a cushy schedule, make a decent amount of money, and be comfy. So I have a feeling Cowboy is going to go back to Impact. What do you think, G?
I think so. I wouldn't be surprised. He knows a lot of, the people he did like are still there. And, Scott D'Amore running the company. I have to say, I don't watch too much of it, but when I do, they do a pretty decent job. Impact. I think they're doing a nice job. Unfortunately, they kind of got derailed by COVID, but even during this, they're doing a decent job. So I think could so see him going back there. I just don't think WWE will do anything with him. But listen, if he could get a better contract, but from what I'm hearing right now, it looks like WWE is not going to sign. When they're signing guys, they're not signing them for the same amount, say, like they were signing guys for last year. But I guess maybe something's better than nothing. I mean, NWA, I don't think Billy's paying these guys too much. So they have to find a way to make some, they have to find a way to make some cash. When you live at a certain level and that money's taken away, mm-hmm. you may have enough in the bank for so long. But, this thing's going on 6 months now.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Shawnee?
Do you
think Impact?
I think he'll also go to Impact. And one, with Scott D'Amore being there, like Dr. G said, they have a lot of history together with AMW, Team Canada, and D'Amore. So that whole dynamic there. And then also, it's kind of like what's old is new again there. So Eric Young's a world champion now. So it would make a lot of sense to get that visibility over there. And if we remember, Storm had signed on with NXT. I think he had like one appearance. I don't know if he actually signed, but he did appear on one episode many, many years ago, and it never panned out. So we were making a joke, I think, earlier. Said, hey, we had to find out what Chris Harris is doing to reform AMW, but I doubt that'll ever happen. So
yeah. Braden hunk a chunk. And I loved Chris Harris, too. Yeah. And I loved AMW, as you could tell, as if you listen to Main Event, and Nate, Steve, and I do our TNA pay-per-view recaps. By the way, plenty of TNA here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. Not only do every other week Nate, Steve, and I will recap a pay-per-view, but don't forget the tremendous show, Highway to the Impact Zone, which you've been on, Sean, if I remember correctly, with Logan Crosland and the rest of you boys. You're starting when Impact went on the air. That's when Logan wanted to start, when Impact became a show. So the eighth episode of that dropped the day after you guys dropped. So this, that's there as well.
Yeah, with, in fact, a great main event of AMW versus the Naturals in a cage, a classic one, so... Good timing on that. So
yes, no, absolutely. Yeah, I know, right? So check that out, and of course, all the great shows, which we'll mention at the end of our show. All right, so well, I'm sure we're going to see more movement. Now, hey, who knows? Cowboy may re-sign with NWA. Maybe, but again, I think the NWA roster is going to have an issue because obviously, as we saw on this premiere episode, UWN has their own roster of guys and gals, and they're going to want to push them too. So the NWA's roster can't be as bloated as it was when it was on its own. And I have a feeling the NWA will be back on its own. This is not permanent, this cooperative. I think this is to keep the NWA on camera. And I mentioned this, I think, briefly last week.
And bring a little cash flow into the...
Definitely. But I think they're going to go back to Atlanta. I think they'll go back to... I think we'll get power again. And I think the NWA will be its standalone again. But this is just to keep the lights on, be honest with you. And,
it sounded like they were, there was a possibility of them touring before all this. So if they could get back to that as well, I think you'll have a chance to bring some more cash flow. It sucks because they were really starting to get on a roll and get a following. And because obviously they wanted to take a different approach and they didn't want to do the wrestling without crowds, they were kind of dormant for a while. And now they're trying to pick things back up.
Yep.
By signing this cooperative, but it's going to be interesting to see how this cooperative works. You know, we'll talk a little bit about that tonight, you know, some of the, you know, the glitches and which I'm sure will be worked out. That's stuff you can work out with, you know, through time, you know, it just takes time with technology. But I just think that with this cooperative, it's going to be interesting to see if this really will work out or if this will help the NWA stars, or will we find, like we were saying last week, some diamonds in the rough with some of the guys from Championship Wrestling from, what was it, Arizona, and Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and West Coast Pro Wrestling. Maybe you'll see some guys that maybe, hey, you know, Billy may say, hey, I'd like for you to come on our power show when we start back up again.
Sure. Sure.
And, you know, because we saw some impressive guys, which we'll talk about later.
Yes.
The other thing I'll add about that with this new revenue, like they're actually getting revenue. This is a pay-per-view, whereas Power was YouTube, right? And they got their revenue mainly from the pay-per-view. So it'd be interesting to see if there's any difference in terms of financial stake they have in it. So it's just interesting. I think it'll be very neat to watch as we go.
Yeah. No, I definitely.
Yeah, I'm dying to see the numbers. I don't think those have been released yet.
Yeah, I don't know how they do that. I don't know how that works with Fight TV and the way they do that stuff. But anyway.
It's still a flow. It's pure money. It's money for them coming in where they didn't have that on Power, regardless of what they do get, is kind of what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious to see. I agree with Jay. I don't know how, again, I don't know how Fight TV does their statistics and stuff or their analytics, but I'll be curious to see what the numbers were for pay-per-view clicks this week. So,
yeah, and they relied a lot on the merchandise too, and obviously it's hard to pimp that merchandise. You know what that they, you know, you could see during the Power shows they were doing that, and not that was bringing in a ton of cash flow, but definitely some.
Right.
But right now, if you don't have your guys on TV, you know, how much are they really selling? You know, during the pandemic.
Exactly. And, you know, UWN has their own stuff, too. Most of it's just, you know, generic logo stuff. They don't have, like, stuff from guys. But, all right, why don't we dive into the meat and potatoes of episode one of Primetime Live from this past Tuesday night. Right now, it's I'm being a little proactive in saying this, but it sounds like, for the moment, it's four episodes. And it doesn't sound like there'll be more than four. Maybe it's really just these four and then NWA has something else in their mind. I don't know. But let's just, I think for now, we'll take into account the four pay-per-views and then go pay-per-view shows and see what happens from there. All right, so episode one started at 9 p.m. sharp-ish on Tuesday night. Dave Marquez ran down the card. Chris Dickinson, one of their guys, comes out, cuts a promo that he doesn't give a shit, and he said shit. And obviously one of the big heels in the company. We did have our streaming issues, which we're not going to belabor while we're doing the recap. We'll get more into that at the end. What did you think of this Chris Dickinson character, Sean? We'll talk more about it because he does wrestle a match later on, but what were your thoughts on the outset?
Well, initially, it was weird kind of opening because I had no idea who this guy was, so it was a little strange, right? So, you know, he kind of reminded me of when he started cutting a promo, he reminded me a little bit of Bubba Ray Dudley at first because he had the backwards hat on and kind of the same attitude a little bit, but I'll talk more about him as we get to his match, but I just thought it was kind of odd to open it with him because nobody knew who he was, but I also kind of liked it because it was somebody new right out of the gate.
What do you think of him, G? It's very Austin-ish, except maybe a little rougher.
Yeah, a little rough around the edges, but I agree with Sean. I was like, man, who is this guy that they're opening this with? It's kind of weird, but then you think about it and you're like, well, one of the things we spoke about on the show last week was, you know, we want to find these diamonds in the rough, find some new guys, some guys that we could get into, which, you know, we did, I think, during the show. I think all of us did at some point. So, listen, it's like I said, a little rough around the edges, but, he definitely has potential. I can't say that he was horrendous, but I thought, you know, it was a little strange at first. But I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to introduce somebody new, it's always good to start out with a good heel, somebody that's going to, you know, get a little heat. I mean, obviously without a crowd, it's a little tougher. That's the problem with any of this stuff now is that without that crowd, it's very hard to see if the guy's really getting over. And that's tough. It's tough for these guys performing under these circumstances. So, you know, they're doing the best they can. And I didn't mind it though. In the end, at first, I thought it was kind of weird, but I'm kind of cool with it. What do you think about it?
I thought he was okay. I'll get more. I have more more I'll get more into him for me because I thought the promo was just kind of random, but I'm glad it was one of their guys. I would prefer to have seen an NWA guy, but you know, UWN is the one probably pseudo calling the shots here. So in any event, he does wrestle later in the show, so we'll get more into him then. We get the open, and then our opening match, a title match, and a guy that you and I, Dr. G, were goofing about his name. But let me tell you something, not a guy that I'm going to goof with anymore. Our West Coast Pro Wrestling Champion, Alex Hammerstone, takes on EJ Sparks in a championship match. I don't have times. The match is probably like 6 or 6.5 minutes, most likely. Hammerstone hits the Nightmare Pendulum, which is kind of a pretty cool, like, suplex sweep kind of thing. And I'll tell you something. I really liked him. I thought Sparks was a good pinball to bounce around. Hammerstone's kind of a cross between one of the Rottens and Scott Steiner.
That's a good description.
Yeah, except one doesn't, you know, he doesn't look like he takes roids or eats glass, but I was impressed by this Alex Hammerstone. He's in good shape. He puts over big power moves. He hits his moves with some force. I was impressed, Dr. G, with Alex Hammerstone.
Me too. We kind of popping for him. I don't know. It was just something, I guess, unexpected. So the Scott Steiner analogy is really good. I kind of agree with you. Kind of that attitude, you know, the big Papa Pump, attitude. I see some potential there. I'd love to see him in the NWA, to be honest with you.
You know, and what'd you think, Shawnee? You kind of liked my Papa Pump.
I do like Papa Pump. I liked Hammerstone. The upside is there with him, his look. You know, the reason why he reminded me of Papa Pump because he was throwing around the suplexes and he was a beast. And, of course, poor EJ Sparks is a little guy, so he ate a lot of shit on the moves. I also – let's not forget to mention the title belt, which was a very cool-looking title belt, which I referenced as the Western States Heritage title because I'm a Crockett mark. But it's the West Coast Pro Championship match. Very, very good-looking belt. Hammerstone looks great. Yeah, I love Hammerstone. I think there's potential there. He's also an MLW as well. So I might have to go check out a little bit of him in MLW in the past to kind of, and I think he's one of their champions right now too. I just have to take a look at that. But yeah, I really like him. He's got a great look.
Yeah, no, I agree.
He does.
And the belt is nice. It's nice that I have another belt mark in my life as a Shawnee. He's catching up to me in belts owned, which I don't like. It's making me have to buy more. Yes.
Sean, you're getting the 10 pounds of gold, right?
Yeah, it should be here next week.
You getting the red one? The red strap one? Or the black one?
No, the black one.
The black one. Okay.
Yep.
Are we good?
There is a red strap one out there, but I know that the junior heavyweight belt was lightweight too, but I love belts too. I don't collect them like you guys do, but I love, you know, the big gold belt was the one that I really marked out for when I was younger. Even though I really have a lot of respect for the 10 pounds of gold.
The belt game tonight is very strong in this pay-per-view, so let's just throw that out there now, Scott. So,
what's that?
Yes.
The belt game in this show is
The belt game was prime. Oh, prime belt game tonight. Yeah. No doubt about that.
We'll be talking a lot about belts.
Yeah, but the West Coast Pro Wrestling Championship belt is actually very nice. Yep. And Alex Hammerstone retains. EJ Sparks, we don't want to discount him. He's a good bumper, smaller guy. Kind of reminds me of Cheeseburger in Ring of Honor, only maybe a little more talented. And
that's good too.
You like that? But Alex Hammerstone retains his West Coast title in a pretty good match. I enjoyed it. Joe Galli greets us. Thanks us for tuning in, spending money to watch the show. I love it. I'm starting to. Dr. G could tell you, Shawnee, I was not a Joe Galli fan in the beginning, but he's grown on me. And I think he's doing a good job of reintroducing himself and the NWA product to maybe some of these UWN fans so I think that was a nice touch. And then we get after that, Nick Aulis, our world's heavyweight champion. Guts in, cuts a good promo. He's been a tremendous promo cutter over these 2 years as champion. talks about how the world title meant the world to Mike Bennett, and it means the world to him, and that Bennett was not going to make his name at the National Treasure's expense. More on Aldis at the end of the show. We have our next match. Two guys that have actually have some – well, one of them has a connection to New Japan, but not a bad worker here either. Jordan Clearwater takes on Will Alday. Will Alday is the heel. He had these weird, like, foil-colored tights. I enjoyed the match. Sadly, this was the first match where the buffering and connection issues really
it was tough
put a damper on the match. But from what we did gather, I thought it was solid. Again, Jordan Clearwater's got some New Japan cred because he's been working over there as well. What were your thoughts on this one, G?
Like I was saying, it was a little tough with the feed breaking up, but I did like what I saw from Clearwater, the little bit we got to see anyway. I think now Clearwater, is he with which company is he with now?
He's with UW.
Well, UWN's more of a cooperative.
I think he's an Arizona guy, but I know he's done some stuff in New Japan. Most of the guys, except maybe for one or two, most of these guys are Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. I'm pretty sure. I know Jordan Clearwater's done some stuff in Japan. I saw one of his clips on YouTube.
I can't really comment too much on the match because again, it was breaking up a lot. But the little bit I did see, I kind of like Clearwater. They seemed like they had pretty good chemistry from the little bit we saw. But
they have unfortunately Championship Wrestling for Hollywood, the Hollywood one. I think they have a separate feud going on over on that show.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I never really watched too much of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. You know, occasional match here and there. It's funny. The one thing I did say, you notice, and not to totally go off the tracks here, and I know we could wrap it up, but I think the production that on the NWA Power shows on YouTube was nicer than this pay per view. That I will say, what the stuff they do at GPB Studios is definitely much crisper. I thought anyway. I don't know what you guys think. Now take away the feed glitches and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying the actual production of the show that they put together. I thought was a little bit.
Yeah, I would say that. Although you know that might be Dave too. So let's take that into account.
And I also think there they recreated the old Saturday Night Show studio, whereas here it was more of a formal, almost like arena looking setting. So I think there's something to what you're saying in terms of
that. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And you know what? A lack of fans makes it difficult to
kills it. It does, and it's so funny. We're so used to a WWE ring, but wow, that ring looked so small to me at first when they first went on the air.
The first camera angle I saw, it looked like a rectangle.
And the ropes looked really saggy in some cases. Like there was a lot of different unique things in this show.
It was very very different. But I agree with you. So Jordan Clearwater technically is on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood's roster. So, which I think to back up what Shawnee said. So Jordan Clearwater gets the win. Will Alday's a good heel, small guy, but a good heel. But for again, this match, I wish I could watch it again, and I hope Fight TV fixes the replay because the replay isn't even playing. So that's technical issues that they'll have to work with.
So one thing I want to say, on Will Alday, I mean, the name caught me off guard at first, but I actually thought when he came out and then we started having the feed issues, I honestly thought this was the guy they were portraying as the star, not Clearwater. So when Clearwater won, I was actually surprised because I thought Alday looked pretty good in it. I think he also has another one to potentially be a really good heel. I liked him. I don't know why, but there's something about him I liked.
Yeah,
I agree.
I thought Will Alday was supposed to be the kind of pumped up guy too. I agree with you on that. Go ahead, G.
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised. Same with you. I was surprised that Clearwater won. To be honest, I thought Alday was going to win, and so I was a little shocked with that. But you know, Clearwater did a pretty decent job. So I guess it's somebody they want to build. But you're right. Yeah, you know, Alday definitely is a definitely potential heel, and I could another guy I wouldn't mind seeing on NWA Power if it comes back.
either one of these guys, I would watch on that show.
So, no doubt.
Yep. Now here's my first and maybe my only thing I didn't like on this night. We have our next match, our lone women's match of the evening. Heather Monroe takes on Camille. Now here to me, this match probably went about 5 minutes, maybe 5-6 minutes. This one actually was not a, this was, might've been one of the few matches where the stream issues were not that bad. This is the first case, in my opinion, guys, where I think the cooperative became an issue, because I think Camille should have squashed her, to be honest with you. Camille is a star. She's got that China kind of intimidation factor. I think she needs to be a little smoother in her movements, but she's another one who puts her moves over. She is clearly next in line for Thunder Rosa's world title. I don't think UWN has a women's belt. We would have seen it probably. My opinion, I thought this match should have been a squash. I thought Camille took too much offense. Like, she got knocked off her feet and Heather Monroe put some moves. I think it should have been a squash, but I don't know if maybe this was one of the few creative debates that went on in booking this show. Because I thought Camille should have squashed her. That's just my opinion. Because Camille is clearly Heather Monroe's not bad, but she's not Camille. Camille has the look of a star. And I think she should have squashed her, Sean, frankly, my opinion. What do you think?
Camille over the summer has really gotten, like, she's pure muscle now. If you follow her on Twitter, she's been on this mission to really get in shape. And she looked fantastic. And she looked stiff in the ring. She looked brutal. I thought she looked really good wrestling-wise. I think they actually gave her a new nickname. What is it? Brick House, I think, is her nickname, which I don't think they referred to her as that back in the NWA.
No, she was just Camille.
So now they're portraying her as a wrestler. They're calling her a Brick House. And I think the problem is both these women are supposedly heels. And I think her opponent, Monroe, I think she's on the indie, she's kind of somewhat of a big deal. So I don't think they wanted to totally squash her because maybe they could use both these women down the line. But you're right. In this situation, if you're going to have Camille on your show, it should have been a squash against somebody who she should have squashed, not necessarily Monroe. So, but yeah, I think Camille looks great, and I'm with you. I think she's going to be a star.
What do you think, Dr. G? You and I watched it together, and I kind of alluded it to you. I wasn't sure what your thoughts were. What were your thoughts in the match, and do you agree with me that maybe Camille should have squashed her?
Well, you know, Scott, I think I agree with you in the fact that Camille should have probably squashed her, Heather Monroe, but the problem is it's a pay-per-view. And with the pay-per-view,
good point.
I guess they wanted to give a little more bang for the buck.
No, I could see that. I could see that. Sure.
But I'm very, very impressed with Camille. I mean, she is really looking good. I mean, she's definitely more ripped than she was 6 months ago.
100%.
I will tell you that.
And maybe they wanted to show her off a little bit wrestling mode versus show her as a squash so people took her seriously as a wrestler.
Good point. Good point. No, you guys may all make great points. Maybe I need to – maybe this is a case where I need to get the NWA power, like, solo thing out of my head and realize that they were looking at a whole different audience Tuesday night. So you guys both make very valid points.
No, again, if this was a regular TV show, I kind of agree with you because you want to make her that monster heel. But it was nice to see her not just be part of strictly business, that she's on her own, that she's something to be reckoned with.
Right.
And she's not playing games. She's going to want to contend for that NWA World Women's Championship. And that match is a dream match. That's going to be a dream match, her versus Thunder Rosa.
I agree 100%. You're exactly right. And Heather Monroe's fine. She has her valet there, whatever the heck his name is.
Oh, God. The Bay guy.
Yeah, the Bay guy. Yeah. He reminded me of Varys in Game of Thrones. But anyway. Solid. I mean, it was a solid match. Monroe did get some moves in, but in the end, Camille gets the win. She smacks a pretty good spear, I got to say. Smacks a pretty good spear. Eli Drake came out, cut a promo alone, and then we figured out why a few days later about how the world was locked down, but he was happy to be back, talk to the people. This was another, after almost a pretty clean match in terms of the feed started to snarl a little bit. So didn't totally get all of the promo. I like Eli Drake. G knows I like Eli Drake. What are your thoughts on him, Sean?
I also like Eli Drake, and it's good to see that he is still with them. Because he was also an Impact guy, so I'm glad to see that he is sticking with them for the time being, which is desperately needed for them, I think, because I think he has a lot of upside. And he was World Tag Team Champion with Storm when everything went off the air, so it'll be interesting to see where they go from here.
Yeah, because obviously there must not be any World Tag Team Champions anymore, which is a bummer. Because UWN does have tag belts. Their champions are static. Static. Chronic. Maybe they have better work rate than Chronic.
Those single name tag teams always.
I tell you, man, like those, or as G would tell you, like those bums, Demolition.
Road Warrior wannabes.
Road Warrior wannabes. I always call them. I always call the Powers of Pain Road Warrior wannabes. But anyway, then out comes the UWN Television Champion Dan Joseph, who I've never heard of. Cut a nice promo because he will be defending the. UTC, I guess, the United Television title, later on in the evening. Back to the belt love. As much as we love Sweet Red, which who knows if we'll see that again. I got to be honest, the UWN TV title belt, not bad. Good shape, nice color to it. I was impressed.
Me too.
I was impressed.
Another great looking belt.
I know, regional, isn't it funny though, guys, on a side note, and you actually said it, Shawnee, because you mentioned it in the chat. Regional belts always had a better look than maybe even some national like WCW. But like I always thought the WCW TV belt of the 90s was utter garbage.
Agreed.
But I tell you this.
Well, I'm also a little selfish though, Scott, because right now I'm going through my favorite belt era and my favorite era of wrestling.
That is true.
So I'm a little spoiled right now. So.
But anyway. So Dan Joseph cuts a promo. We'll talk more about him in a minute. Our next match, sadly, this match really suffered because of the bad the streaming issues. The Wolf Zaddies took on the Tribe, one of them was a guy. It looked like a pair of what's his name? Oh man, his name was just in my head. And what's his name? The King there, and he's on SmackDown. The fuck's his name? The one nobody likes. Everybody boos.
Corbin?
Yeah, two Baron Corbins taking on the Tribe, which looked like a bigger, chunkier version of the Faces of Fear. Looked like the Barbarian and Haku.
They were a little thick and a little big, yeah.
Yeah, but I tell you, from what we did watch, I mean, again, this match did suffer a ton from the streaming issues. These two teams beat the shit out of each other. This was like watching... This was a kind of a great value version of watching the Steiners against the Miracle Violence Connection. Like just watching, you know, Scott, Rick, Terry Gordy, and Dr. Death just fucking potato the shit out of each other. It was fun. I enjoyed this one, Dr. G. From what we watched. Ended in a draw, by the way. And ended like in a double. I don't even know what it ended in. The streaming was so bad at this point. It was almost, I don't know if it was a double.
Nobody won. That's all I know.
Yeah, nobody won. They started brawling.
You always need a good brawl in a pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, this one, I think one guy got power bombed, and the fucking the ramp was not forgiving. I think that was plywood or cedar or something, because they were taking some bumps. I'd like to see these two teams again. Put them in a cage or something, because I'd like to see these two teams beat the shit out.
I actually want to watch this match again, you know, when they, you know, fix the feed, because I think there was parts we did miss.
Yeah,
it was really good. Toss fight. And you liken it to like the Miracle Violence. I was thinking like Steiner's Head Shrinkers from 93, that kind of scenario.
Sure.
Good Hoss fight. Really good Hoss fight in what we saw.
Yeah. Nothing's better than a good Hoss fight. Nope. I'd like to see those two teams again. Because they really went at each other. It was a lot of fun. We finally get a look again at the guy that we saw at the beginning of the show that nobody knew about, Chris Dickinson. He took on a dude named Jordan Cruz. Once again, another brawl, and this guy got the fucking tar beat out of him. This was squash. This Jordan Cruz got fucking, he got Sal G'd or Barry O'd in this one. Not pretty. It's like two jobbers facing the Road Warriors in AWA.
Chris Dickinson looks like the guy they really want to push. That's the impression I'm getting.
They sure as hell did. They did a good job with it because he looked really damn good.
He really did. He was hitting this guy hard, and he was jaw-jacking with the camera. This is a guy that I think would benefit from a crowd.
Yes.
Sadly, not having an audience to bounce, go fuck yourself off of, you know? talking it to the lights doesn't really help. So I liked what I saw personality-wise and charisma-wise, but again, he seems like a guy that would feed off of a live crowd. So,
old school heel.
Yeah, I think so too. What do you think, Shawnee? Same thing?
Ton of upside. Another one that they could add to the NWA roster and add a lot of value to. So I really, out of the gate, first impression, I really enjoyed him.
I did too. Now we get our second title match of the evening, and out comes our sexy belt, the United Television Championship. Dan Joseph takes on Levi Shapiro, who looked like great value Orange Cassidy, taking on against Dan Joseph with his manager. What the hell was his manager's name, G? I told him. Shit. Ah, damn it.
What?
Fuck. Can't think of his name now. I meant to write it down, and I forgot. Anyways, manager, he looked like poor Johnny Polo. But this match was quick. I mean, this match probably went – did it even go like 3 or 4 minutes? I don't even know. It was weird. Like, the announcers pointed out that he uses the claw with a gloved hand, and it's superpowered because he had an injury that caused the tendons to heal more tightly, giving his hand even more strength. I kind of dug that. We'll talk about the announcers in a minute.
That's so old school.
Yeah. Joseph hit a drop kick. The ref fucked the count up and counted to three, even though there was a kick. Like, the end of the match was a fucking shit show. It was like watching these, Justin and I watching on the Place to Be podcast, some of these fucking terrible old refs at the Garden in like 90, 91 that probably should have retired in 86. The ref totally screwed the pooch on the end of this match. So the match itself was not great. I like Dan Joseph. He's a good baby face. This match was not that good, Sean.
No, it was not a good match at all. And I was going to even bring it up that this is so far the worst match of the entire night. Unfortunately, fortunately for us, the belt looks really good. The match sucked, so maybe it'll get better as we go on. And he is actually signed to the West Coast Pro League as well. So same league as Hammerstone. So
yeah,
you know the belt was the MVP of that match.
It was.
It
absolutely.
Is.
I'm staring at a picture of it right now as we speak, looking at his bio. It's beautiful.
Can we find we got to talk to our guy Hassan and see if they have the UW.
I don't think Hassan will have this belt, but maybe he'll make one for us.
Shawnee's going to collect all the Mid-Atlantics, and I'm going to collect all of the iterations of the WWF title. So I got, because they have literally all of them, including Backlund's. So. My guy,
you know,
guy there.
You know, next you'll be having Saturday special belts. We'll have crock and roll belts.
they do make personalized belts, not to get off topic, but they do, just for the record.
I would love
when
to
we
have
reach 1 million downloads, we'll get that. How about that?
I would love a belt that has
so drawer. next month.
We'll be getting get out belts. You're crazy.
I would like to have a belt that has Drew Wardlaw's You Don't Know Billy Jack logo on the front. That would be actually kind of cool. Imagine a half Billy Jack King's face. That would be pretty cool. another great show here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network, our good friend Drew Wardlaw. He's an alum here of the Saturday Special, Dr. G. And
I will have Billy Jack stories because another guy I've met in future podcasts.
Shawnee, just as we take a side note before we continue promoting the great shows here at the Place to Be Wrestling Network, please think about Drew Wardlaw. On crock and roll when you start hitting the sexy flexy Lexi era, because you will never find
Drew and I have had a little bit of banter back and forth unofficially, and he's following me on Twitter, so when we get Luger coming up, we will definitely have him on.
You will never find flexy Lexi.
I'm not like him, but I do like Lex Luger. I did when I was younger. So
sexy flexy Lexi. So anyway, anyway, we love Drew Wardlaw, and he does a great show. You Don't Know Billy Jack. We'll have a new episode of that coming up later in the month. All right, time for our – they did mention some matches for next week. for this coming Tuesday's show. Thunder Rosa will be wrestling. Of course, this week she was on Dynamite, beating the shit out of Ivelisse, that freaking witch.
That was a great match, by the way. But I just separate. I'm match, sorry.
Because Thunder Rosa legitimately was trying to snap her, which she should have.
Yes.
She's a. And I used to feel bad for Ivelisse because every major opportunity she got hurt. But apparently her and Thunder Rosa don't get along and some shit went down. Who knows? But anyway, so she wasn't on this week, but Thunder Rosa, our women's world champion, will be back next week. My guy, and I think, Dr. G, we may need to have Steve Willey on next week just because this guy is coming on. My man, the sweetest man in wrestling, Jervis Cottonbelly, is making his debut on Primetime Live.
Oh, yeah, you were marking out for that.
Favorite Chikara guy of all time, Sweet Jervis. He's the one, for those of you who don't know, that's got the mask with like the funny mustache and the raised eyebrow. That's my guy, Sweet Jervis. So, Steve, I got to thank Steve Willey for that. He got me into Jervis Cottonbelly. So he'll be on next week and, probably some other great superstars we didn't get a chance to see in week one. Now for the big one. Oh, we get a Mike Bennett promo, which really got hacked to bits by the fucking feed. So I don't know what it was, probably in essence what his 10 pounds of gold piece was. So we'll say it from that.
Which was amazing, by the way.
That it was amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah, it was amazing. And now our main event, for the first time since probably late February, when I think it was defended against Ricky Morton.
Yeah.
Saw Sweet Charlotte, boys. The NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. The national treasure, Nick Aldis, against Mike Bennett. Sadly, another match that kind of got wrecked a little bit by the feed, but not as bad as some of the others earlier in the night.
My only complaint with the match?
Too short?
Should have been longer.
Yeah, too short.
I think you're going to cut one of these matches out.
14 minutes, I think, was the time.
I would have been happy with another 7. Even if it went maybe 21 or 22, I think I would have been happy. Having said that, is there anybody in the indies right now? And you can, I guess you could include New Japan, I guess. That right now tells amazing stories in the ring like Nick Aldis does right now. He definitely went to the Ric Flair school of TV championship matches on television. Like that certain way that you handle yourself when it's a television title match. Not television, the TV title, like a world title match on television. Mike Bennett was in great shape, by the way. He looked a lot better than he did when he was in WWE. The match went back and forth. We thought Mike Bennett, I thought maybe he had a 15 to 20% chance of winning this match. Dr. G disagreed. He thought that they wouldn't do it on like one of these weekly shows. I was hesitant to agree with him because I really thought Mike Bennett, they could really shock the world here. Hey, look, they did it on the first episode of Power. They Tim Storm and Aldis wrestled almost an hour, I think. It was the entire episode of Power, I think. I definitely would have liked to have seen the match be a little longer. But having said that, the story was amazing. They went back and forth. Camille came out to keep Maria at bay. It was good to see Maria, by the way. And in the end, Aldis slaps on the... what's his official term of it? I want to make sure I get it right. I guess it was the Texas clover leaf, but he calls it something else. And I love it. Bennett, one of my favorite moments, Bennett's locked in this and he's screaming, "I need this. I need this." But Aldis kept dragging him like Brett did to Steve 23 years ago in Chicago. And finally it ended with Mike Bennett being knocked out by the pain. So he did not submit. He was out cold. Nick Aldis retains Sweet Charlotte. This was a really fun match. Two things, Shawnee, I'll start with you. Number one, an amazing match for both guys. Let me ask you three questions. Number one, your thought on the match. Number two, your thought of Bennett's performance. Not necessarily Aldis's, because we know he's pretty hot right now. And number three, is this the last time we see these two together?
So as far as the match, I really enjoyed it. I love the build. Like, the build got me so excited for the match. And that's what's so great about the NWA. The way they've built their world title matches, even back in the day in Crockett, and, you know, the old NWA, they've done a great job with this NWA just building up to these matches, whether it was to get to Marty Skrull, or whether they did a short angle to get him to Ricky Morton. And then they did a 20-minute 10 pounds of gold on, you know, kind of that redemption. They're really good at these redemption stories. And Bennett came out of this, even though he lost, I feel like Bennett came out looking like a shine, like $100, because he's redeeming himself from an angle in WWE where he had his wife's last name, and it was a cucking angle where his wife was pregnant and it wasn't even supposedly his. Now, thank God that never even played out. But when you go from that to this, that's so guardrail to guardrail. And I think this made him look like $1 million. I thought Otis looked great. I love the match. I love the build. And I really do hope we get to see more of this. I thought the entrance was really cool for Bennett and Maria because it reminded me of the Ring of Honor entrance.
Yes,
when Bennett was Ring of Honor. I love that entrance. And he looked great. And he looked like a star. And I'm really proud that he had this moment for himself to get out of the WWE crap he had to deal with. And I definitely think we're going to see more of this. I don't think this is the end.
Yeah. Dr. G, I present the same three questions to you. Your thoughts on the match, your thought on Bennett's performance, and do we see these two dance again?
Well, I'll start with the last question. I definitely think you'll see these two dance again. Now, all this, just like Flair, really helped sell Bennett, made him come out of this match. Even though Bennett lost, he looks better for it. Now, the thing is with Aldis is that he makes that belt feel like it is the biggest thing in wrestling. He mm-hmm. makes that belt mean something. And that's what the NWA, and Sean, you know this from the stuff we're watching, that belt always seemed so special. That was like the main championship that everybody was striving for if you were a wrestler. Not the WWF title, not the AWA title, but the NWA title. That was the title back then, back in the 80s. And that's why I love Nick Aldis. He makes this Miss Championship. And the way Mike Bennett was selling, I need this. Making it like this was like his life depended on it. He needed to win this match and win this championship. Now, he didn't, but there was a respect between the both of them by the end of that match. And that's why there will be another match. And I think that the way it ended, what we say all the time, finishes and things that are done in storylines get recycled in wrestling. I'm sure that Stone Cold and Bret Hart were that match was thought of when they were mapping this match out. Minus the blood, I guess. But I don't see anything wrong with it because, I actually enjoyed watching Mike Bennett. I mean, it makes me want to see these two go at it again. So I really love the match. Like I said, I wanted more. I wish the match was longer. But like you said, I didn't want the match to be 40 minutes or anything like that. You know, but maybe 20, 21 minutes would have been nice. I didn't even realize it was 14 minutes. The match really went kind of quick. I didn't even realize that it was actually 14 minutes. I thought it was actually less than that. But I 20 minutes, 20 between 20 and 25 minutes, I would have been happy. But from what I saw, I love it. I think Mike Bennett. I've really gained a lot of respect for him. Like Sean said, I mean, he was in just some bad storylines in WWE. You know, WWE doesn't always hit a home run with every guy. So sometimes they need to go somewhere else to really, you know, prove who they are and get that chance to be what they want to be. And I think this version of Mike Bennett is the real Mike Bennett and who's the guy that's going to challenge Nick Aldis for the championship probably within the next couple of months or whatever, maybe on a future pay-per-view or Power or whatever show we have by then.
Mm. And then after the match and after the show went off the air, we got a Fight TV special, promo, Joe Galli interviewing Nick Aldis, and he puts over Mike Bennett and says he just came oh so close, but not close enough.
But, you know, all this never – he never gets, like – he doesn't put anybody down or whatever. He's, like – he shows them that respect. Because, again, he knows that he just got out of that match, that he – there was a chance that he could lose that championship belt, but he was just that much better. And it just builds it up for another match in the future. He's just so good at that. You know, I'm glad that Nick Aldis is the NWA World Champion, but I think some of the bigger companies are missing out on him because he's really, really good.
He could stay champion forever, and I'd be happy, but I know that won't happen, but he is just that good as champion.
Yeah, I mean...
He is. He really is.
Yeah, I mean... I still say, and I think I'm right when I say this, had nothing changed and we didn't have the shitty crap that happened this year and everything was normal, I do think Marty Scurll was supposed to beat him at the Crockett Cup. I do think that. I
agree with you, Scott.
I think Marty was supposed to win that match. But
I do think Aldis would have won it back at some point, though.
Probably, depending, because Marty legitimately owns a big hunk of ROH now, which is obviously the running gag for the whole music, you know, for the whole money thing. So, why drop
to see Aldis without the championship though for a long period of time?
Yeah, I agree with that.
To me, he's the NWA World. It's kind of like when Flair had those periods of time when he wasn't champion. You know how like some people you say. They never needed a belt. Well, I think Aldis's character needs the belt. Like, I think Ric Flair needed to be the world champion. You get what I'm saying? It just fit with their character.
Yeah. What do you think, Sean?
About that? No, statement? I agree, Nick. I think the belt makes him, but I think he's grown into it so long that he's had it so long. He actually makes the belt. So at first it made him, but he's actually grown into the champion where he actually is making the belt versus the belt making him, which I really, really like.
Exactly. So there's the first episode. Now, obviously the one thing we said often tonight is the streaming was absolutely atrocious. The buffering issues, some parts of the show were okay. The Camille match was probably the best in terms of that. The tag match got trashed. The reason, G, you probably thought that the main event was short is because that got probably beat up by the buffering too. Nick Aldis had this to say on Twitter. All I can say regarding the issues with the pay-per-view tonight is at NWA fans deserve better and you will get it. Also, we busted our asses and what time we had to deliver a main event, and Mike Bennett is a quality professional and he deserves your respect, which we all do have. So I'm feeling confident that this coming Tuesday for episode 2, we will have a better performance from Fight TV on the quality of feed. I'm optimistic. I am. So we do know that we're going to get a little tag team action this coming Tuesday with my man Jervis and his partner, whose name escapes me, but we'll know more about that next week. Thunder Rosa will be back.
They have to do a better job, Scott, I think, of really like putting out like a main event like they did for this past one. You know, if you really want to keep the audience, especially that you had feed issues. Now, again, some people might have bought the package and that's fine. Those people are going to continue watching. But if you had somebody that is not buying the package and didn't get to see the first week, I think or they did see the first week and they're trying to see, oh, well, let me buy the first one, see what's going on. And now I think you really need to do something to sell it a little bit more, in my opinion. I don't know how you guys feel, but I just think, you know, we bought the four pack. But for those who didn't, don't you think, especially if they got a little bad taste in their mouth after this week, that you really should give them something to say, hey, you know what? I want to come back and try this.
What are your thoughts, Johnny?
Listen, for me, like, they were getting torn up on Twitter for this feed and the social media, and I'm one of those guys that say, you know what? It's their first show out of the gate. Give them a chance. And I think if they still have the issues going into episode 2, then it's going to be a bigger deal for me. But you're right. I think the ones that just got it for this one show, they're probably less likely to get the second show. But I hope they do. I hope they give it another shot.
Me too. I think you have to give, and again, you know, being in the industry, and Scott's currently industry and used to be in the broadcasting industry, you know, there's a lot that goes into this, and there's sometimes, you know, there's some glitches, and you try to be perfect your first time out, but you know, streaming is a technology that's still being worked on and still being, you know, fine tuned. And, you know, Fight TV is not some of the bigger platforms that are out there. So it's going to take some time. And, you know, was it a good, you know, was that, were they having glitches because there were so many people watching it? You know, that could be a problem. I'm hoping that's the issue that they had, because that means that a lot of people bought it. But I hope people will give it a shot. And for those who are listening out there, if you didn't watch the first week, give it a shot this week. I do feel it's going to be better. And for those who watched it and have a little bad taste in their mouth, give these guys a break. Try it. I enjoyed it. It was a nice night of wrestling, even though there was no crowd. I thought they did a nice job for a smaller company trying to put something together, you know, to keep us engaged as fans.
I agree. And I think we'll see. I'm confident. I'm an optimist. As Dr. G will tell you, I am I've always been a glass half full person. So I feel confident that we're going to get better technical performances out of Fight TV and the UWN this week, this coming Tuesday.
Yeah, and in the end, be happy that the NWA is back in some form or fashion. You're getting it here. You're getting Thunder Rosa on the AEW defending their women's title. So we have the NWA back, and for me, that's what matters.
I agree.
I concur.
Scott doesn't like the AEW stuff. But,
I know, but Thunder Rosa's on it. I didn't say AEW. Thunder Rosa's defending the NWA women's title on the show. I'm going to watch it to see her do it. So.
Who cares? No, I'm just kidding. That is so that'll do it for this week's episode of the NWA Saturday Special. All right, guys, I'm doing a little test here. Oh, well, good news. The replay is playing on my Fight TV app on my Fire TV, Dr. G. So we might be able to watch it at the house this week if we want to watch it again. Let's see. Do we hear it? Oh, I have it on mute. So it's playing. So for those that have Fight TV, and got the package, looks like the replay is playing fine. So if you want to watch it again, to give yourself a better opportunity, feel free, because I think the replay is fine. So, Sean Kidd, you're pretty awesome. Thank you for joining us this week.
I love it. Thank you.
You can follow this guy on Twitter at Croc and Roll. What is it again? At NWA.
At NWA Croc and Roll.
At NWA Croc and Roll. You can check that show out every month here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. Next month, the month of October, they will be covering July 85, boys. The first bash, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. Right out of the gate.
Woo!
First thing on the show.
Yes. And then 67 TV show. No, I'm only kidding.
Yes. We're going 6 hours in July. We're going Broadway.
Oh, my God, baby. Let's do it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hey, you know what? We gotta help people get through their work day, Sean. Come on.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah.
Dr. G, you can follow him at Dr. G PTB. And, of course, you can follow me at PTB Podfather. And at Place to Be Nation is the brand Twitter. Great shows. This past week, we had a good week of shows. Again, Croc and Roll for June of 85. This month's episode is out. As well as Mr. Logan Crosland's Highway to the Impact Zone. This coming week, we got some fun stuff. Let's see. My PIC and I will be back Monday for the next Place to Be podcast. We are on the fortnight of WrestleMania 7, so we'll be live watching Superstars and Stripes Forever. Kind of pumped for that. There will also be a new episode of The Main Event, myself, Steve, and Nate. Our next classic TNA pay-per-view recap. And we'll talk about some other stuff around wrestling. Actually, we'll be previewing Clash of Champions, which is a week from this Sunday. So check that out as well, and all the other good stuff on the feed. So there we go.
We always tell them, rate, review, subscribe, baby.
Place and, of course, go to the store. Go to the store. You'll find the link in the description here. And click on and buy some swag. Wear a Croc and Roll hoodie.
I got one.
That's right.
You sent a picture this morning of you with your Place to Be wrestling mask this morning.
I did when I stopped and got my coffee morning.
At the rest stop,
which doesn't have a Taco Bell anymore. Some dickhead took the Taco Bell out. they weren't serving breakfast anyway, those pricks. No. Anyway, he's Sean. I'm Scott. He's the doctor, and you're not.